Welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this High Sabbath day, a special Sabbath. We're having foot washing and communion service today. Very precious time. I'm glad you're here. Welcome also to those that are listening on the phone, that are listening to the recording. And praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another Sabbath day, although this is a special Sabbath. For those that haven't yet heard, thank you so much for your prayers for our dear sister Joan. She had the cardioversion on Thursday. Everything went fine. She only needed one shocking of her heart to take her out of AFib and put her back into a normal rhythm. And she's recovering well, had some muscle cramps that caused a bit of a problem, but those are alleviating, and we'll see if it's an electrolyte imbalance or something that's leading to that muscle cramping. But there's been no clots that have caused any kind of problems. And last time she had this cardioversion done was in 21. And up to 2 weeks later, there were clots that were still traveling. And the last one was actually, it led to a stroke, very mild stroke, in the right side of her brain that affected the left side of her body. And so please continue to keep her in prayer that she can get through this next couple weeks without any blood clots. That would be very appreciative, dear ones. And praise God that He's in control. Whatever His will is, that's the best. But thank you so much for your prayers. She's recovering well. We pray that it will continue to be a recovery without any problems. Yeah. Big prayers. Thank you. God is good, dear ones. And since He is good, then He only allows what is for our best, for our good, to occur. What a God, a loving Father, compassionate Savior they are. Our opening song to this service is titled, Just When I Need Him. Thank you, Savior, for always being there to help. Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need Him most.
Just when I need Him, Jesus is true. Never forsaken all the way through. Giving full burden, pleasures on you. Just when I need Him, just when I need Him, just when I need Him, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him more.
Just when I need him, Jesus is strong, bearing my burdens all the day long. For all my sorrow, giving a song, just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most.
Just when I need him, he is my all. Answering when upon him I call, tenderly watching lest I should fall, just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. Thank you, dear Savior. And we need you now. We need the Father and the Spirit as well to be with us. Thank you for being here. But dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for being so tender and compassionate, loving, and earnest with each one of us. Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus. We pray that your presence and the atmosphere that surrounds you and your throne to be brought down to each listening heart. Father, fill us with your love, the light of heaven, the joy and the peace that we need in this world of turmoil, strife, and division. Dear Savior, we pray that your presence will be here as well to dispel darkness in our hearts and to allow us to receive that affectionate bond because you're our elder brother, you're our best friend, you're also our shepherd, our high priest, our deliverer, our Redeemer, our Substitute, our Advocate. Thank you for your love and compassion. Dear Spirit, we also need your presence here to bring comfort and peace to those who need it most, but also to bring reproof and correction of our sins and wrongs, that we might indeed have the gift of repentance and also the gift of forgiveness and clear away all the problems and divisions between us. We want unity. And only you can grant it. Only you can influence us in that direction. Most of all, we need God's love in our hearts for others, including ourselves. And thank you so much for being our guide, our instructor in how to accomplish this. Father, we also ask for you to send your heavenly angels to be ministering spirits to each one of us and to work to prevent the devil and his angels from affecting us in a negative way, for this is a very special occasion. We want your presence. We want our Godhead with us. And we want the blessings and the benefits that you hold out for all those who partake in these services. And thank you so much for the freedom to do so. We also pray that the internet will be strong, that there'll be no lag, that everything will be understood and comprehended, and that we might indeed be blessed. Thank you so much for making all this possible. Father, we also pray that you will uplift Jesus to those who are sorrowing, who are suffering, who are afflicted, who are grieving, who are anxious, who are sick, who are in trials, tribulations. Be with those that are lacking in faith or being tempted in a great way to give it up. And thank you, dear Savior, for being their great physician as well as their deliverer. What a precious Savior you are. And help us to love you more. So we thank you for being in our midst, for hearing and answering these prayers, for sending comfort, deliverance, and healing, and especially, dear Savior, for coming soon to take us home. Help us to get ourselves ready. And thank you for an additional time to accomplish that goal. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. What a Godhead we have, dear ones. So this is foot washing and communion service today, and the first was foot washing. When you look in the scriptures as to how Christ performed on this day, he started with washing the feet of each disciple. And so that's where we're going to start as well. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to today, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1971.htm. So lightministries.com/ID1971.htm. Now, if you look at quote number one, from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 11. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So obviously this was not dealing with physical dirt. This was dealing with the heart. Now, if you look at quote number 2, the question comes up, why did Jesus perform this service for his disciples? Why was it necessary before they partook of the bread and the grape juice? Now, literally, this cleansing of the feet was usually done by hired servants or slaves of the family. And these would take a wash basin and a towel and then wash and dry each of the feet of their masters and children or guests as well. But if there were no servants around, then one of the younger members of the family would be forced to perform this service for all of their family members. And this would show proper respect for their elders and other important guests. So then when Christ and all the disciples came into that upper room with dirty feet from having traveled some distance, they all noticed the pitcher of water. They all saw the wash basin and the towel placed in the room with which to wash their dusty feet. But they also recognized that there were no servants in the room to perform that service. So this meant that one of the disciples would need to perform this humiliating task for all the others. And I'm sure each of the disciples was more than willing to wash the Savior's feet. But if they volunteered to do that service for their Lord, then they also knew that they would have to humbly wash the feet of the rest of their disciples, right? Which would be humiliating. So what did each of the disciples do? As Christ was their master, he naturally went and sat down at the table for supper, and then he waited for one of his disciples to come and wash his dirty feet. He waited all supper for that to happen. But Christ watched as each and every one of his disciples also went and sat down at the table along with him. During the supper, Christ watched what all his disciples were doing. The looks that they were giving one another, right? The words that they were saying to one another. He watched it all. And he recognized that each of his disciples proudly believed themselves to be close to the same level of importance as he was, their Lord and Master. And he saw that each proudly believed that they were of more importance than the other disciples, since they expected others to serve them. So after the supper was over, and still not one of the disciples had humbled themselves to wash the feet of others, Christ then rose up from the table. And you could imagine that when Christ rose up from the table, the disciples stopped what they were doing, which was probably casting angry looks at one another. And all of them, was watching what their Lord was going to do. So they stopped looking at one another, trying to get others, right, to get up and wash the feet. And now they were focused on the Lord, what he was doing. And you can imagine their horror, for lack of a better word, as they saw Jesus go over to the wash basin, grab the pitcher of water, pour it in the basin, and then take a towel and grab the wash basin and come over to where each of the disciples were sitting, and he began to wash their feet as their servant. And it was at this point that pride, self-exaltation, selfishness was crucified in each of their hearts. And then they each began to bitterly reproach themselves, not one another now, but reproach themselves for not being the first to perform this service for their Lord, without caring if it also meant that they had to become a servant and wash the feet of their fellow brother. That's when self became crucified. It took a while, didn't it? All supper long. That shows you how hard it is for self to die. Now, if you look at quote number 3, when Jesus came to Peter, what did Peter say to him? Peter said, "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." In other words, Peter was saying, "You're not my servant. I'm your servant, so don't wash my feet." And what did Jesus say back to Peter? He said that, "I have to wash you, or you are no longer my disciple." Now that struck Peter quite heavily in the heart. And Peter then said, "Well, just don't wash my feet then. Wash every inch of me, because I really want to be your disciple." Christ then said that he was, and others, had already been bodily washed and were fully clean, but at times their feet become dirty, and so they need to have their feet washed. So instead of being completely dirty, they're just partially dirty, and they only need that portion that's dirty to be washed. So what Christ was saying is that those who have already accepted Jesus as their Savior are washed in his blood and are fully cleansed from their sins. But at times, there still needs to be the daily cleansing from the contamination of selfishness and pride, so that self may become crucified on that day, not just once and then done forever. Crucified daily, and pride can be replaced with humility. Selfishness can be replaced with self-crucifixion, self-sacrifice, so that they may be completely hid in Christ and represent Him in character. Now, Judas was in that assembly. And so, if you look at quote number 4, so Christ also washed the feet of Judas. And if you understand, Judas was actually the first one that Christ washed. So why did Christ wash the feet of Judas first? Jesus knew that Judas had already agreed to betray him to the Pharisees. He had already been paid to do so. And so Judas was not cleansed in heart. Now, how humiliating was it for Jesus to wash the feet of his betrayer? How hard would it be for you to do that? So Judas had consented to betray Christ, but he had not yet performed the act of betrayal. So there was still a chance, still time to reach the heart of Judas and bring him to repentance. That's why Christ washed his feet first, to give him all the time necessary to work upon his heart, to bring him to repentance. So he didn't wait to put Judas at the last, right? Because then Judas would have hardly any time. He put him first. Christ loved Judas, even after Judas had agreed to betray him. And because Christ loved him, then he was willing to humiliate himself to the greatest extent in order to do everything possible to be done to bring Judas to repentance. Christ knew the next step, if Judas took it, would mean the loss of salvation. Now, after such an example of godly love being manifested to each of the disciples, especially to Judas, what did Christ then say to them? If you look at quote number 5 from John 13, verses 12 to 17. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So if you know the truth, the only way to become happy is to obey the truth. So then, with such an example being revealed to each one of us, then who should we be willing to show our love to? Who should we be willing to service, to minister to? And it should be to every one of our fellow brothers and sisters, irregardless of what they may have done to us. Christ washed the feet of his betrayer. So we're to wash the feet of those whom we know have or are betraying us. That's hard to do. Because self wants to lash out at him, right? But if self is crucified, then the feelings are crucified as well against them. So self is dead. It can't rise up if it's dead. So we're to wash the feet even of those whom we know have or are betraying us. And this is because by our love being expressed to them, even to the extent of our willingness to become their servant in washing their feet, this is the same example of our Lord. And in following his example, we're trying to bring them to repentance. We're seeking to bind them closer to us in love and unity. And if our humiliation is to be done by us for those who have harmed us in the greatest degree, betrayal, right? Then our humiliation is definitely to be done for those who have wronged us in the least degree. But sometimes the least is more difficult than the greatest. But Christ is willing to subdue self in us that we may manifest Christ to others, even to our betrayers. So that's why this service is done before partaking of the bread and the grape juice, so that these differences among us, this lack of love among us, can hopefully be eliminated from us. That's why Christ did it for his disciples. It stopped them from exalting themselves over their other fellow disciples and brought them down to where they were equal with one another. Love was replacing hatred. So since this foot washing ceremony deals with humiliation and also deals with the subject of hurt and repentance, that is why this service is performed before the Lord's Supper occurs. And since foot washing deals with the crucifixion of self and of showing humility and love for one another, then anyone is free to participate in this service, regardless of whether or not they are baptized. So this particular service deals with humility, the crucifixion of self, and ministering to others out of love for them. So anyone can participate in this service. So before we break for foot washing and communion, please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for sending Jesus, for sacrificing him for our benefit, manifesting your love for us in self-sacrifice, that we might become saved. And thank you, Savior, for manifesting your love for us through self-sacrifice. You voluntarily gave up your life on the cross and spilt your blood that we might have a chance to have our sins forgiven and escape the death penalty for breaking your law. And thank you, dear Spirit, for manifesting your love for us through self-sacrifice. You are sacrificing your time, sacrificing your energy to help each one of us come into the possession of the truth in Christ Jesus that we might indeed be saved. Please be with us in this service. Work upon our hearts. Bring us into a position of contriteness, humility, and love, that we might truly love one another as we should, loving God first and foremost, and clear away any hindrances to receiving the blessing in full measure that you have in store for us. We want the devil shut out in from our midst, from our hearts, and we want Jesus instead. Thank you for making this possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear ones, let's take 17 minutes for a foot washing and then return back here at 1:10 Pacific or 4:10 Eastern for our next service for our partaking of the bread and the grape juice. So what's that? That's 21 minutes, not 17. So 21 minutes from now, we'll come back here, 1:10 Pacific or 4:10 Eastern. Okay. So the communion service now, for those that'd like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1972.htm. So lightministries.com/1972.htm. And the communion service deals with bread and juice. If you look at quote number one from Matthew 26, verse 17, 26 through 30. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And as they were finishing eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We're also told in Luke 22, verses 17 to 20. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So what did the symbols here, the bread and the fruit of the vine, what did these symbols mean? Why did Christ bring in this ceremony? Well, let's see. You look at the quote number two. What would the bread symbolize? And Christ said that this bread symbolizes his body. Now, it's not the actual body of Jesus Christ that the bread is, but the bread is just a symbol of his body. So by eating this communion bread that symbolizes the body of Jesus, it would further symbolize that Christ, who is the Word of Truth, is working in you, like the bread would, to nourish your spiritual life instead of your physical life. So as literal bread is eaten that nourishes your physical life, so Christ, the spiritual bread, the Word of God, will nourish your spiritual life if you partake of Him. We're told in Psalms 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. So we have to taste of the Lord, right? In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So God's word tells us that we have to eat it, that we have to taste of the Lord, that he is good. And so this is partaking of the Lord. It is eating the word of life. And so that's what the bread in the ceremony symbolizes, the body of Jesus, the bread of life, the Word of God. And if we partake of the Word, if we allow the Word to live within us, then it will bring about a new Christian. We'll be born again. Jesus will be able to live through us. The truth will vitalize us, transform us from a child of the night into a child of the day. A child of the devil is transformed into a child of God. So let us indeed eat the bread of life. Let's allow the truth, Jesus, to live within us. So that's what the bread symbolizes here. So then what does the fruit of the vine, the unfermented grape juice, symbolize? If you look at quote number three. The grape juice would symbolize the shed blood of Jesus. And again, it's not that this grape juice is the actual blood of Christ. It's just a symbol of his blood. So by drinking the grape juice that symbolizes the blood of Jesus, this would further symbolize that we have been washed clean from all of our sins, both outwardly and inwardly. We're told in 1 John 1, verses 5 to 9. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So just as grape juice comes from grapes that have been crushed, and the juice escapes, it's spilled out from the grape itself. So Christ allowed his body to be crushed. He allowed his body to be on the cross, his blood to be spilt, so that he could provide a cleansing stream from our sins so that we might be forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. So then, apart from the symbology in this service, why should we partake of the Lord's Supper? Why should we perform this service? And if you look at quote number 4, we're told in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 6, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So these verses reveal to us that we partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the great sacrifice that Christ willingly made out of love for you and me and all of God's followers. So when we partake of this service, we should be happy. We should be joyous because of all the Lord has done and is doing for you and me, and especially because of his promise that he's coming back again soon to take us home, to be with him in his Father's kingdom, where Jesus will once again drink of the fruit of the vine, but this time in company with all the redeemed, not just his disciples. All of the redeemed and ransomed of the Lord. So this particular portion of the service is one that is to be of a happy state. The foot washing was more, Lord, forgive me my sins, and then going to others and making situations right. So there could be love and unity instead of division and hurt feelings. So this portion of service today, partaking of the bread and the grape juice, is to be a happy occasion because Christ is coming soon. So then the question comes up, who can partake of the Lord's Supper? And you'll notice in the scriptures, it says that it was only the disciples of Christ that he allowed to be with him in partaking of the bread and the juice that symbolized his body and blood. Now, all of these disciples had been previously baptized by John the Baptist and had already accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They were already following him. So this reveals to us that not just anyone is free to partake of the bread and the juice in the service, but only those who have been baptized and who have also accepted Jesus as their Savior and God. So as this is true, for any who are not yet baptized into Jesus, or who have not yet fully accepted him as your God and Savior, I request that you do not partake of this service. So do not eat the communion bread or drink the grape juice until you have done these two necessary and important things connected with your salvation. So accepted Jesus as your Savior and been baptized into him. Now, if you find yourself in that situation where you may have accepted Jesus but have not yet been baptized, and you want to perform both of these things so that you can partake of the Lord's Supper next time, please feel free to contact me, and I'll be more than happy to help you get ready for the next time that we have this communion service in the future. And we have it about four times a year. So once every quarter. So we want you to be able to partake with us. But if you have not yet accepted Christ or are not yet baptized, then you're not yet ready. Now, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and you have been baptized into Jesus, and you know that you have confessed all known sins, and if you know that you've done everything you can to settle any differences between those with whom you fellowship, either before or during the foot washing service today, and if you have fully crucified self and are hid in Jesus at this time, then you can know that you are ready to partake in this service, having faith in Christ, and will indeed become blessed and joyful through this service. So if you find yourselves as one of those individuals, then please partake in this service today. Now, I'm going to give about 5 minutes for those that are passing out the bread and the grape juice. I'll give you 5 minutes to get ready for that. And then go ahead and pass out the bread first, but do not yet eat the bread. So go ahead and pass the bread out, but do not yet eat it. And so I'll give you about 5 minutes to do that. Before you partake of the bread, please bow your heads with me. Precious Father, thank you for the great sacrifice you made in sending Jesus to become our sacrifice. Thank you, dear Savior, for voluntarily giving your life and allowing your body to be broken for us, that we might receive the nourishment that we need for our spiritual life to flourish. Thank you, dear Savior, for being the Word of Life, the living bread that came down from heaven to sustain us in this wilderness walk on our way to the promised land. Thank you for your great sacrifice, and also thank you for thy word that brings us life, and life more abundantly than anything else this world can offer. What a wonderful, loving, compassionate Savior you are. And thank you for the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, let us go ahead and partake of the bread. And now I'll give a few minutes to pass out the grape juice. And please don't drink it, or go ahead and pass it out. And before we partake of the grape juice, please bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the great plan of salvation. And dear Savior, we thank you for not just dying on the cross, but spilling your blood that we might be cleansed and forgiven from all sin. And dear Savior, again, we thank you so very much for bringing us from death to life. And we pray that you might dwell within our hearts in such a way that you are revealed to others and not ourselves. Please refresh us with your precious blood. Renew us. Revive us and help us to go forth and allow you to live through us, to indeed be children of the day, followers of the Lamb, and showing forth your praises and glory to others. Again, what a Savior you are. And what a privilege it is to be connected with you as your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now please go ahead and drink the grape juice. And amen. Praise God. So in 1 Corinthians 11:23-6, it says that we're to partake of his body, the bread, which is broken for you in remembrance of him, and that we're to drink his blood, which is the cup of the New Testament. So partaking of his blood is partaking of the Word of God in the Testament, the New Testament. So we're no longer in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. And we're also to do this in remembrance of him. And this is what we've done, dear ones. And we're now recognizing that Jesus will soon come again. And what a joyous thought that is, dear ones. He hasn't forsaken us. He's coming soon to take us home to be where he is. So that's why the communion service is a happy occasion, because Jesus is coming soon. We recognize him. We're remembering him. We're not forgetting him, even though it's been some 2,000 years since Christ first had this communion service with his disciples. We're not forgetting it. We're remembering it. And in this home church, we remember the communion of our Lord 4 times a year. And we know he's coming soon. Now, we've read that after they finish the communion service, that they sung a hymn as they were walking out to the Mount of Olives. That's found in Matthew 26, verse 30. And so as a closing hymn, they sang a scripture song, right? As a closing hymn, I felt it appropriate to choose this song. My Lord Jesus Christ. You'll recognize the tune. Some of the words are different. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. It was here that God's Son, the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish my Lord Jesus Christ, and for him I will lay my life down. I will cling to my Lord Jesus Christ, and soon he'll place on my head a gold crown.
Oh, my Lord Jesus Christ, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above and died on a dark Calvary. So I'll cherish my Lord Jesus Christ, and for him I will lay my life down. I will cling to my Lord Jesus Christ, and soon he'll place my head at gold crown.
On that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died, to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish my Lord Jesus Christ, and for him I will lay my life down. I will cling to my Lord Jesus Christ, and soon he'll place on my head a gold crown.
To my Lord Jesus Christ I will ever be true, his shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me some day to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish my Lord Jesus Christ, and for him I will lay my life down. I will cling to them, my Lord Jesus Christ, and soon he'll place on my head a gold crown.
Amen. He's coming again soon, dear ones. Let us get ourselves ready and prepared to meet him in the clouds of the air when he comes. And what a joyous day that's going to be. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, dear ones, please join with me for closing prayer. Beloved Father, thank you again for the great plan of salvation. Thank you that every provision has been made to save every human being from sin if they choose Jesus. Dear Savior, thank you for sacrificing your life. Thank you for showing us it is possible in human nature to keep the law of God perfectly, and help us to be perfect in our sphere as our Father is perfect in heaven. Savior, please help us to partake of you, the bread of life, every day, that our spiritual life may flourish and not be starved. And help us, dear Savior, to allow your precious blood to wash us free from the stain of sin, and not continue to wallow in it, not continue to dwell in it, but to accept by faith that our sins and stains from sin has been removed. What a Savior you are, and what a perfect and complete salvation you offer. Help us indeed to allow the Word of God, the truth, Jesus, to live within us, to transform us, and to make us alive, happy Christians. Set us free. And let us be free indeed. What a joy it is to no longer be bound to the devil or in bondage to sin. All because of you. We love you, Savior. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A high Sabbath indeed, dear ones. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise the Son for giving us life. And praise the Spirit for making salvation possible. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, any insights, any testimonies or songs that you'd like to sing or have sung for you? Please go right ahead, dear ones. Well, I would like to praise the Lord for three major things. Number one, Sister V's son Knowledge is recovering. Praise God's name. For those that don't know, he was shot and was close to death, but God has heard and answered prayers, and he's recovering. And would also like to praise God that Sister Joan is recovering from her cardioversion and is doing quite nice. So praise God indeed that things are working out. And I would also like to praise God for Sister Dot, Sister Lynn's mother, that she is doing well as well. She had some falls, and God protected her from it being serious, and she is doing better as well. And I guess four things, really. I would like to praise God for hearing and answering all of our prayers for all of our loved ones, and praise his holy name for allowing his perfect will to be accomplished. What a God he is.
May we sing "To God Be the Glory"?
Go ahead, dear brother. You can start us out.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all might go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, the moment from Jesus the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be a wonder or transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Exaltad a Jesús, es el Rey y Señor. Alabad a Jesús, es el buen Salvador. Load sobre todo su nombre mortal. Él salva sus hijos del yugo del mal. Amen.
We have something to be thankful for over here in Whit Springs. My brother has had a problem with low platelets for some time. He was put on some drug to keep his, I think it's his spleen from eating him. And that was worrisome. But in January, he had a blood test, and it came back his EGFR, I think is the name of it, doctor would know, was 50. 105, I think, to 120 is good, normal, high. And 15 is dialysis or death. This is where the kidney filtration of the blood, this measures it. Well, that was bad. And then it went down to 40. It got down to 31. I told my sister, if it continued at that rate, it went down, he wouldn't see spring. She and her husband and son hopped in the car and came back to see us. And she said, well, he don't look that bad. Well, it's been explained to us, you don't look bad till you're dead, because you don't show the loss of, or the variation in EGFR in the face. You look good. You feel okay. But the blood test says you're not. It's back up to 48 after a couple of incremental increases. And they measured something that was called creatinine. 6.2 is supposed to be normal. I don't know what it is. And the higher it goes, the worse off you are. And It's up to 6.88. We've been praying, Abba, kind of like a prayer band every night for him. And he's resigned to go or stay. I'm not. As you know, in 21 I lost my wife to something, and we're not sure what it was. It has since been described as cystic fibrosis. And I don't want to lose somebody else. Well, they say he's 84. It's time to go. Not really. Parents on both sides lived into their 90s. And for those of you who are interested, I would solicit a place in your prayers, your prayer list for him, his recovery too. Thank you.
Amen, dear brother. Hugs are with you. And let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, we lift up our dear brother John. We bring him before our Savior. We lay his case at your feet. Dear Savior, we thank you for being his great physician. We thank you for allowing a turnaround to occur in his kidneys functioning better than they were. Father, in the name of Jesus, we also ask that this will continue. But we also know that you know the future. You know what is best. You're all wise, and your love is infinite. We trust you. So whatever your will is in the matter of John and others that we intercede for and lift up to thy throne, we accept your will. We're told that precious in your sight is the death of your saints. And we know that your love is so great that you would not allow them to go through the experience of death if it was not for their best interest. Father, you know our hearts. You know it hurts. And we thank you for sending your Spirit to comfort us, to encourage us, to lead us in faith upwards. And your word is indeed an encouragement, because we know that death is just a short span of time. And if we're faithful, we'll be reunited with our loved ones again. And that is a cause for rejoicing. It doesn't take away the pain or the hurt, but it does allow us to be happy, because we know in faith that it's not the last time that we see them. Thank you, Father, for letting thy perfect will be done regarding John. We pray that he's with us a lot longer, but you know what's best. And thank you for your grace and your truth that enables us to continue on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
What a joy it's going to be to see Sister Elaine again. That's going to be a wonderful day.
Mother, I have a question. I know next week will most likely be question and answers, so maybe we could have it for homework. How do you explain to one, because it's always a topic of discussion and a lot of back and forthness, that the wine that was at the wedding feast and the wine for the is not fermented wine, because they will argue that because of the name wine, that it is fermented, it is something to drink. So maybe not for now, but for question and answer next week, for sure. By God's grace.
Yes, yeah, we can have that question next time. And next Sabbath is question and answer. We have that after each almost after each communion service, so that we can address the questions, get them all answered, Lord willing, before we go into other topics. Brother Jeremiah, do you have a question? Go ahead. We'll definitely be keeping you in prayer, dear sister, especially for traveling mercies, and also for great success and blessing in your missionary endeavors. So our prayers, our thoughts, and our love do go with you, and we're looking forward to have you back in fellowship soon. So yes, we can address the question about why wine in the Bible sometimes refers to unfermented juice and other times it refers to fermented juice. we can bring that up next time. Follow-up questions? Is that connected with the subject of wine in the scriptures? If so, we can have that follow-up next time, too. But are there any questions or comments, any testimonies that you'd like to give today or bring forward today before we close? Please go right ahead.
I would like to give God thanks and glory. It's a long little story, but I will give you the short version. Yesterday, my son died for 18 seconds on the basketball court, and God chose to give him back the breath of life. He chose not to take him from us and give him back to us for his purpose. And I'm eternally grateful if he has done so many times, done so many things to save my son and to show him that he loves him. But this time it was so amazing because he at one minute was playing and the other minute he said he just felt that he froze, and then the next thing he knew, he was awake. He heard someone say first, "Don't worry, God is here." Like when he was waking up, and then he just heard someone say, "Is he awake? Is he awake?" And then he expressed to me and said, "I don't know. I just was wondering, what am I doing on the basketball floor? Because how did I fall asleep on the basketball floor? Because I felt like I was in this peaceful dream. And then all of a sudden I just heard someone say, don't worry, God is here. And is he awake? Is he awake?" And then he started to move and come back, and he was face down he was on his face. And so around, I would say around 4 o'clock, what's it, 3:30, 4 o'clock, I was sitting in from coming from work, and I got the call that they were rushing him to the hospital. So we had a long night of that, and his blood pressure was at one point 150 over 101, and it just kept climbing and going and going and going. But like I said, to cut the story short, this morning, by God's grace and mercy, he was relieved. They kept him overnight, and he did not decline. With a multitude of prayer for my brothers and sisters that was with me in prayer, and also in just calling upon the Lord for his help. And I am so grateful and thankful, and beyond what I can express and know, I know that God is love and merciful, and I am truly thankful for him spirit in the life of my son yet once more.
Amen. Amen. And may this experience lead your precious son to indeed give his whole heart to Jesus and never look back. We'll be continuing to hold both of you up in prayer, and praise God, he's okay. Well, dear ones, any last thoughts that you'd like to bring forth before we close today's High Sabbath service? And please go right ahead. Well, next Sabbath will be question and answer. And one of the questions and answers is going to be dealing with wine in the Bible. But I'd like to end this service before Brother Dick sings us away with this hymn. You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, we will travel to the city, we will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity, we will spend eternity, we will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see the Lord coming, you will hear Christ's cymbal trumpet, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath, and for those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful new week. And we look forward to being back in fellowship with you again. Remember, next Sabbath is question and answer, so if you have questions, write them down, because each one is important. And dear ones, until then, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.